Did you know that the quarantine has an advantage for the people of God? Today I want to share with you, my dear friends, how and why you should take advantage of this opportunity right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to study your word. And now as we open the Bible, help us to understand, touch our lives in a very special way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, have you ever been so angry with someone? Have you ever been so upset that you've said even aloud or maybe in your mind, I could just kill them? I want you to go back with me some 4,000 years ago. A group of brothers who had that same feeling. The difference of having that feeling or saying it out loud, these brothers actually acted upon the feelings which they had. These brothers were out tending their flocks. 10 of the brothers, they were of a family of 12 brothers and one sister. 10 of the brothers were out tending to the flocks. They were in the ancient city of Shechem and had moved their flocks to the ancient city of Dothan. There, as they were tending their flocks, the father sent one of his young sons, the second youngest son, to go and visit the brothers. Now, if we're being honest about the story, the father sent this second youngest brother to go and check up on the mischief that the 10 other brothers may have been creating. As those 10 brothers saw their second youngest brother coming, it was at that moment that they began conversing with one another, and they decided that they were going to kill this brother because they hated him so much. The oldest brother convinced the rest of them that they should not kill the brother. But I want you to imagine for a moment how angry you would have to be to actually want to kill someone. The second youngest brother arrived in the camp and they tore his clothes from him, his coat from him, and they threw him in a pit, trying to decide what they were going to do with him. There Joseph sat in the pit, having had exercised upon him the pent-up feelings of jealousy and hatred. I want you to imagine for a moment Joseph. Imagine what it felt like to be sitting at the bottom of an empty well, dark, damp. Undoubtedly, he was hurting because I'm sure his brothers didn't gently lower him down into this pit. They cast him into the pit. He was bruised and battered. Imagine being in a dark, damp pit, hurting and bruised. I want you to imagine for a moment the emotions that Joseph must have felt as he sat there at the bottom of this pit. Fearful of the future. Have you ever been afraid of the future? Anxious about his present circumstances. Have you ever wondered, how am I going to be provided for? What am I going to do? Imagine with me for a moment how Joseph must have felt as he sat there at the bottom of this pit, wondering, how in the world did this all happen? How did I get to this place? Now, some of you might be asking, what does this have to do with quarantine? Just hang with me for a moment. Just hang for a moment. How did we get to this place? How did we get to this place with this young boy, Joseph, sitting at the bottom of a pit, an empty well? Joseph was the 11th of 12 sons and one daughter. All of them were the sons of Jacob, who had his name changed to Israel. These were to be the chosen people of God, God's children. But the brothers of Joseph seem to have a real problem. How did they come to this problem that they had with Joseph? If you have your Bibles with you, and I would encourage you, get to your Bible. If you have a physical Bible, open that physical Bible. If you have your phone, get out your phone. Follow along. Read for yourself. It's very important when we study the Word of God to read and look at the Word of God yourself. And for those of you watching online, if you don't have a Bible, you need a Bible, you leave a comment in the comments section or you email us at info@hopelives365.com. We want to make sure that you have the Word of God because it is the Word of God that is powerful and mighty in someone's life. In Genesis chapter 37, it tells us how we arrived at the story of Joseph being at the bottom of the pit. In Genesis chapter 37, beginning in verse 1, it says these words, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah." Remember, Jacob had several wives. These were two of the women that were his wives, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to the father. So Joseph essentially, if we're just putting it very plain, told on his brothers. His brothers were doing something wrong, and Joseph told the father about it. Well, how did that make the brothers feel? Verse 3 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." And so it's here where we see the beginnings of the problems. Joseph was the favorite. He was the favorite son. Joseph told on his brothers. Joseph received special treatment and gifts. And the Bible says that the brothers hated him. They despised him. They detested him, literally in the original language. But if it couldn't be worse, it does. There in verse 5, it says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.'" Joseph had been given a dream by God of what was to happen in the future, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. So don't go away. You want to stay and listen to what happened in the life of Joseph. But Joseph has this dream, and it instills greater hatred in his brothers. Verse 8 continues, "And his brothers said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him. So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words." Once again, their hate is building and building and building against Joseph. Verse 9 continues with how we get to this place where Joseph is sitting in the bottom of a pit. "Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me.' So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind." Right here in the story, there hatred is channeled into envy, into jealousy. And then that jealousy would lead them on the path of actually desiring to kill their brother. And that takes us back to that pit. Dark, damp, with young Joseph, 17 years old, sitting in the pit, fearful, anxious, wondering. Imagine being there. Imagine being Joseph. But I want you to think about the brothers. What are you now going to do? You've cast your brother into a pit. This brother who has told on you before for mischief that you've done. Now you've thrown him in a pit. So the brothers are talking. The oldest brother, Reuben, talks his brothers out of killing Joseph, undoubtedly with the idea of somehow, some way, sneaking Joseph back to his father, Jacob. But Reuben talks them out of it. But again, what do? Joseph is, he's in the pit. He's told on you before. Their jealousy was no less. Their hatred was no less. I mean, think about it. What would Jacob do when he heard that these brothers threw Joseph in the pit? And so these brothers are coming up with a plan. What do we do? What do we do? And there in the distance, come with me back to ancient Dothan. There in the distance, the brothers saw the answer to their question. What are we going to do with Joseph? Some Midianite traders began traveling. They saw them in the distance, traveling toward them. And there, the Midianite traders, also referred in some Bible versions as Ishmaelite traders, they come up with a plan. In fact, Judah, the crafty one, came up with a plan. The plan he came up with is recorded in Genesis chapter 37, verses 26 to 28. Follow along with me. Genesis chapter 37, verses 26 to 28. The Bible says, "So Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh.' And his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt." Judah, the crafty one, comes up with a plan. Let's sell him into slavery. He's our brother. He's our flesh. Never mind you that they wanted to kill him. But now Judah arranges and convinces his brothers, let's sell him. They sell him for 20 shekels of silver, which was less than the price of a slave. But you see, the brothers still had a problem on their hand. Joseph had been sent. What are they going to do? How are they going to explain to their father, Jacob, that Joseph is gone? Well, they take the coat that they stole and tore from Joseph. They concocted a story, dipped the coat in blood, returned to their father and said, "This is what we found left. An animal must have torn him to pieces." And with that, their problem was gone. But what about Joseph? What about Joseph? Sold to Midianite traders. Imagine with me for a moment that you were Joseph on that journey. You see, in the Bible, it takes a mere moment to read about the journey from Dothan to Egypt. But that journey, when you look at an ancient Bible atlas, is a journey of some 300 miles, over 480 kilometers. traveling at the average travel speeds of the day, in the most ideal conditions, it would have taken the Ishmaelite traders carting Joseph down to Egypt at least 15 days. 15 days, friends. Imagine being Joseph, alone, away from family, sold, undoubtedly being mistreated. Undoubtedly, he was hungry, thirsty, but now with bigger questions about the future. Have you ever wondered about your future? Have you ever wondered what's in store for you in your life? I want you to imagine being Joseph, wondering what is going to come next. Could it get any worse? Anxious, fearful, detained. So what does this all have to do with quarantine? The word quarantine is defined in the dictionary as to exclude, detain, or isolate for political, social, or hygienic reasons. My dear friends, all of us at this point in time are experiencing a quarantine, so to speak, a stay-at-home order for hygienic reasons, to protect and keep safe people around us. But you see, Joseph was involuntarily detained. He was taken captive, sold into slavery. But here is my question. What would Joseph do in this detainment, in this quarantine that he was now experiencing? And a bigger question is, what can we learn from the quarantine of Joseph? Is there any secret advantage to quarantine? Joseph, sold into slavery on a 15-day journey to Egypt, confused, bewildered, anxious, fearful. Was he going to give up on God? Was he going to curse God? Would he question the very existence of God? What would he do? In a wonderful little book on the life of the early patriarchs of the Bible, Patriarchs and Prophets, on pages 213 and 214, there is a wonderful commentary that speaks of Joseph's journey. Listen to these words. For a time, Joseph gave himself up to uncontrolled grief and terror. Let me pause there for a moment. Could you blame him? Being taken captive, sold into slavery, traveling to who knows where, hungry, beaten. Could you blame him for uncontrolled grief and terror? Have you ever experienced uncontrolled grief and terror? What would he do in that moment? The passage continues. But in the providence of God, even this experience was to be a blessing to him. Again, let me hit the pause. How is that possible? How could this experience be a blessing? Listen carefully, because in it we're going to begin to see the seeds to the secret advantage of quarantine. He had learned, continuing with the quotation, he had learned in a few hours that which years might not otherwise have taught him. Then his thoughts turned to his father's God. In his childhood, he had been taught to love and fear him. Often in his father's tent, he had listened to the story of the vision that Jacob saw as he fled from his home, an exile and a fugitive. He had been told of the Lord's promises to Jacob and how they had been fulfilled, how in the hour of need, the angels of God had come to instruct, comfort, and protect him. And he had learned of the love of God in providing for men a redeemer. Now all these precious lessons came vividly before him. Joseph believed that the God of his fathers would be his God. He then and there gave himself fully to the Lord, and he prayed that the keeper of Israel would be with him in the land of his exile. His soul thrilled with the high resolve to prove himself true to God under all circumstances, to act as became a subject of the King of heaven. He would serve the Lord with an undivided heart. He would meet the trials of his lot with fortitude and perform every duty with fidelity. One day's experience had been the turning point in Joseph's life. Its terrible calamity had transformed him from a petted child to a man, thoughtful, courageous, and self-possessed. From a petted boy to a man. Maybe you're watching today and you grew up hearing the stories of the Bible. Maybe you're watching today. Maybe you're taking a part in our service today and you've heard the stories of the Bible. Maybe you heard it from your parents. Maybe you heard it from your grandparents or your great-grandparents. And somehow, some way, you've become disconnected. I want you to stay with us. Because God wants you back. He wants you to experience the secret advantage of quarantine. You see, Joseph had a decision. In this moment, he had a decision. And the decision was clear and the decision was plain. Would he stay in uncontrolled grief and terror, or would he move from a petted boy to a man, and if you're a woman listening, from a little girl to a woman of God? You said it, instead of questioning God, Joseph did not give up on God. Instead of giving up on God, Joseph took those quiet moments of his 15-day travel from Dothan to Egypt. He took those moments to take spiritual inventory in his life. He took those moments to be accountable to himself and accountable to God. And here's what I must wonder aloud here as we talk and as we experience this quarantine situation. Will we, like Joseph, take these quiet moments to reassess life and recommit to valuable priorities? Or will we let this moment pass and simply go back to life as normal? You see, this was a point of fundamental change for Joseph. Will this quarantine be a fundamental change for you? Will it be a fundamental change for me? Because even in this moment, even in this pause where we are quarantined, where we've been asked to stay home, is it possible that we're allowing ourselves to get even busier than we were before? We have our phones, we have our tablets, we have our laptops. And now, thanks to Zoom and Microsoft Teams, we can be in a meeting anywhere and anytime we want. Now, let me be clear. Let me be clear. I don't want you to misunderstand. There's a place for technology. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to have meetings with my team when that's needed. But what I must wonder aloud, is it possible that the devil is capitalizing on the wonderful tool of technology and other entertainments to keep us so busy that we miss the quiet moments with God? Is he capitalizing on our binge watching of a show of our pastime that we don't have a quiet moment with God to hear his voice and what he wants us to say? You see, this quarantine has an advantage. There is an advantage to those who are willing to listen. There's a story told of the great man of God, Elijah, the great prophet of God, who had come to a very pinnacle moment in his life. And there he had a moment of depression, and God spoke to Elijah, and it's This story is recorded in 1 Kings 19. I'd invite you to open your Bible to 1 Kings 19. There in 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 11, God speaking to Elijah said these words. Then he said, speaking of God, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And here it is, my dear friends. What is the secret advantage of the quarantine? Can you hear it? Are you listening? The secret advantage of the quarantine is in the quietness of the moment, the still, small voice of God. You see, for Joseph, that still small voice left him in peace, gave him joy, and led him to faithfulness and fruitfulness. You see, Joseph's journey with the Midianite traders ended with him being sold to the Egyptian Potiphar. Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh. Now, again, I want you to think about this. Joseph is beaten by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold to Midianite traders, travels 15 days in probably less than desirable conditions, but in that less than desirable time, in that quarantine moment, in that moment of detainment, Joseph makes a decision where he goes from a petted boy to a man of courage and faithfulness. Now he arrives in Egypt. And he's freed, right? No, he's sold to Potiphar. You see, it's a lesson, my dear friends. Even when we make a decision in the quiet moments with God, when we make a decision to give our lives to Him, to be faithful to Him, to be courageous for Him, to fully yield ourselves to Him, that does not promise us a life that is without trial and tribulation. It does not promise us a life that is free from challenges and problems. And so for this young Joseph, he went from Midianite traders now to being a servant in the home of Potiphar. Potiphar, an officer of the court for Pharaoh. He was the captain of the guard. But when he bought Joseph and when he saw Joseph in his home, he noticed something different. And Genesis 39 tells us what he noticed different about Joseph. Again, if you have your Bibles, Genesis 39, verses 1 to 4. What is it that Potiphar noticed different? Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Can you believe that? Joseph, a Hebrew slave in the house of Potiphar, is made to be the overseer of Potiphar's house. How was it that Potiphar was able to see something different in Joseph? How was it that Joseph was able to exude a commitment to God in these circumstances? Think about it. Favored child, sold into slavery, alone, away from home, away from family, away from friends, different foods, a foreigner in a foreign land. What was he to do? What was it that he was to do? Psalm 119 outlines how Joseph stayed faithful in his time. I'll be skipping around in Psalm 119, but if you want to reference this, I'm going to read verses 15 and 16, 27 and 28, 48, 78, and 148. Psalm 119, how is it that Joseph demonstrated a faithful life? How is it that Joseph maintained his faithfulness in a terrible situation? Listen to these words. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word, and I will meditate on your statutes. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Joseph exuded faithfulness because in a moment he made a decision. He made a decision that he would be faithful. He made a decision that he would listen to God. And just so we are clear, just because Joseph was committed and we might be committed, just because Joseph spent time in God's word and we may spend time in God's word, just because we have quiet moments with God, just as Joseph had quiet moments of God, doesn't mean that everything will go our way. Joseph was made the overseer of Potiphar's house. But someone wanted to disturb that peace. There in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's own wife had eyes for Joseph. She wanted Joseph to be hers. She pursued him with everything she had. And listen to this, friends. And again, I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you're in Joseph's place. Joseph could have folded on his commitment to God. He could have said, you know what? This would be advantageous for me to be with Potiphar's wife. She's the queen of the house. She can make my life really, really easy. He could place himself in an advantageous position. He could have moved forward. No one would have known. He was the overseer of the house. He could arrange for everything so no one would see. Potiphar would never find out. But no. You see, Joseph had discovered the secret advantage of the quarantine. He had discovered that through the quiet moments with God, listening to God's voice, God would give him peace. God would give him joy. God would help him to be faithful, and God would help him to be fruitful no matter what the circumstance was. Genesis 39 and verse 8 records the faithfulness of Joseph. Listen to these extraordinary words. Speaking of Joseph and his rebuffing of Potiphar's wife. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness?" And I want you to notice then what Joseph says, "and sin against God." He did not do this to maintain faithfulness to Potiphar. He did this to maintain a faithfulness to God. And then it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." This is later when this is later in the story. See, friends, are we so busy that we don't have time to hear the voice of God? Is it possible that we are not realizing the secret advantage of the quarantine? You see, Potiphar's wife continued her pursuit. And when she could not have Joseph, she invented a story and concocted a scenario in which she was able to say that Joseph had attempted to violate her and told her husband. And the Bible says that then Joseph was thrown in jail. That is a fascinating conclusion to Joseph's time in Potiphar's house. You see, when you read ancient Egyptian history, you find out that the punishment for adultery, the punishment for rape, was severe. Sometimes it was execution. Sometimes it was 40 lashes across the bottom of your feet. But we don't read anything about that for Joseph. Joseph was put in prison, but he wasn't put in just any prison. Joseph was put in the king's prison. The king's prison undoubtedly being a much better facility than any other prison. What can we deduct from this? Scholars alike deduct the same. Potiphar knew Joseph's character. And Potiphar knew his wife's character. You see, while saving his wife from humiliation by outright believing Joseph, he did not follow through with the severest of punishments that he could have. And so now, Joseph, beaten by his brothers, thrown in a pit, sold to Midianites, sold to Potiphar, and now in jail. I don't know about you, friends. I mean, I can't even imagine that happening in my own life. It'd be so easy to give up on God. It would be so easy to say, I'm done with this, you know? I mean, Lord, I keep trying, I keep trying, I keep trying, and all that happens is bad things. What would Joseph do? You see, now Joseph was detained in a new way. And so what did Joseph do? Joseph took those quiet moments to draw nearer to God. You see, it is in that valley, my dear friends, that we need to draw nearer to God. And the keeper of the prison noticed in the life of Joseph this faithfulness and fruitfulness. And Joseph, now in prison, was made to be the overseer of the prison. Commenting once again in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, a fascinating description of what was the emotions of Joseph. I want you to go there and I want you to imagine yourself having been sold into slavery by your brothers, having been sold to Potiphar's house, and now in jail. What would Joseph do? How would Joseph feel? On page 218 of Patriarchs and Prophets, it says this: he had the peace that comes from conscious innocence, and he trusted his case with God. He did not brood upon his own wrongs, but forgot his sorrow in trying to lighten the sorrows of others. He found a work to do even in the prison. God was preparing him in the school of affliction for greater usefulness, and he did not refuse the needful discipline. In the prison, witnessing the results of oppression and tyranny and the effects of crime, he learned lessons of justice, sympathy, and mercy that prepared him to exercise power with wisdom and compassion. The secret advantage of quarantine: quiet moments with God. Quiet moments for you to grow. Quiet moments for me to grow. Quiet moments for God to prepare us. The question simply is will we benefit from the advantage of quarantine and slowing down? Or will we just let it pass by and take no lesson from it? Many of you know the story of Joseph, and I don't have time to tell the entirety of the story. Joseph comes out of that prison. He's made second in command in all of Egypt. If you've not read the story, I encourage you, go and read that story. Spend time. And as I've already said, if you don't have a Bible, you leave a comment in the comment section. Go to info, or write an email to us at info@hopelives365.com. You leave us a message. We want to get a Bible in your hand so you can study the Word of God. Read the story of Joseph. Draw inspiration from that story. Out of that jail, he's made second in command in all of Egypt. He, through the power of God, was able to save Egypt from famine. He was able to save his own family in the famine. Yes. this Joseph was reunited with his brothers. Imagine for a moment being Joseph. Beaten by his brothers, thrown into a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery by his brothers, then sold to Potiphar as a direct result of what his brothers had done, then cast into a prison as a direct result of what his brothers had done. What's our natural inclination? Our natural inclination is to get even. You know, the problem with getting even is we never really get even. When we try to get even, we often inflict more harm upon that person than they inflicted upon us. And so it's this ever growing cycle of getting even. Nobody ever really gets even. But Joseph was never interested in getting even because Joseph had been changed. You see, Joseph took his time in quarantine seriously. And through that time in quarantine, he came out of that quarantine having spent those quiet moments with God, continuing to spend quiet moments with God. He was completely transformed. And he revealed to his brothers his true identity. Again, if you don't know the story, go and read it there in Genesis. Something interesting had happened, though, as well. Not only had Joseph been changed, but his brothers had been changed. They had changed their way. Judah, the one that concocted the plan to sell Joseph in slavery, Judah had made a drastic change because now he offered his life as a ransom for his brother. Go read the story. They had all changed because they had all had quiet moments with God. What would Joseph do? Listen to these words of Genesis 45. And if you have your Bible, let's read these words together. Genesis 45, beginning in verse 5, the Bible says this. Joseph speaking, after he had revealed himself to his brothers, "But now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt." Did you hear this? Joseph says, "It wasn't you that sent me here. Oh yeah, you cast me in the pit. You sold me to the Midianite traders, but it wasn't you. It wasn't you who sent me here." Did you hear what Joseph said? "It was God who sent me here." You see, the secret to quarantine is coming into close communion with God, having quiet moments with God, and in those quiet moments, allowing God to speak to us as to why we're experiencing and going through the things that we do in our lives. It wasn't you, brothers. Your story of inventing my death and selling me into slavery, you meant it for harm, but God had another plan. It wasn't you, it was God. The psalmist says in Psalm 25:10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." You see, when we draw near to God, we get a very different perspective on life. My dear friends, coronavirus and COVID-19, it is a terrible situation. Thousands upon thousands have died. But in this quarantine moment, what is God trying to speak to you? What is he trying to do in your life? Are you taking those quiet moments to listen to him? Maybe you've experienced heartache in your life. Maybe you've experienced disappointment. Maybe you're someone who grew up with Bible stories as a young person and you've walked away from the church saying, "Ah, the church, I don't have any use for it." In this COVID-19 moment, in this quarantine moment, God is speaking to you, and he wants to speak to you in the quiet moment. And he wants to tell you why you've gone through what you've gone through. And you know what? Sometimes, my dear friends, sometimes we may not have the answer. Sometimes it may not be an A plus B equals C. Oh, I understand now. It's this, this, and then this. But no. You see, the book Patriarchs and Prophets goes on to say this: the path where God leads, the way, may lie through the desert or the sea, but it is a safe path. What is the secret advantage of quarantine? The secret advantage of quarantine, my friends, is to take this moment. You see, God has given us a chance to slow down. God has given us a chance to take assessment. God has given us a chance to take a personal inventory. God's given us a chance to meditate, to contemplate, and to consider. What do we really want out of life? What's most important in life? God desires that we would take advantage of this moment. And as Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. You see, Moses also instructed the children of Israel with the waters of the Red Sea on one side and with the armies of Pharaoh on the other side. Moses said to the children of Israel, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall not see again forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You see, my dear friends, what is the secret advantage of the quarantine? To be still. To stand still. In that stillness, to know that he is God. The secret of advantage of the quarantine is to take that quiet moment and be still. The question is can we be still? Or are we so used to being busy that we're so stir crazy that we don't know what to do with ourselves? Because we know in the quiet moment when God speaks to us, it may be too much for us to really handle. But God wants to speak to us in this moment. What will you do? Will you take this quarantine quiet time to see a radical change in your life? Will you set up new boundaries in your life? Will you set new priorities in your life? Because the quarantine is going to end. And when it ends, are we just going to return to normal? Busy, busy, busy. Always busy. Going to do this, going to do that, going here, going there. You see, God desires for us each to have a time to be still and know that he is God. A time for reflection. A time to think. A time to prepare. A time to pray. I want you to imagine for just a moment what life would look like taking time to be still. I want you to imagine what a life of truly pausing and listening to God and being in that stillness. I want you to imagine what would that look like for you. I want you to imagine the peace and serenity of knowing that God desires for you and has placed you upon a safe path. I want you to imagine for a moment what it would look like to face the greatest trials and challenges of life, having the assurance that God is with you and he will be with you. I want you to imagine with me for a moment, knowing that moment by moment, God is caring for you. I want you to imagine the peace you would carry by giving your life to him. And being ready for when God will set up his eternal kingdom. I want you to imagine that kingdom. That kingdom that God is setting up where there is no pandemic. There is no disease. There is no suffering. And there is no pain. I want you to imagine with me for a moment. That you're there. That your family is there. And that your friends are there. All of this is possible. All of this is possible through the secret advantage of the quarantine. Will you take a quiet moment now? Right this moment. Whether you're watching on your phone, whether you're watching on a computer, whether you're watching on a tablet, whether you're watching on Apple TV or Roku or one other type of digital technology, will you take that quiet moment right now and give your life to Him and say, Lord, I'm tired of the busy, busy, busy. And I want to come to know You. Will you take that moment today? Friend, if you're taking that moment today, I want you to go into the comments section, go into the chat box, leave a little message and say, today is the day. Today is the day that I'm making a decision to reconsider and to take full advantage of the advantage of the quarantine. I want to know God in the quietness of the moment. Leave a comment right now. Maybe you need prayer. You leave a comment and you say, I need prayer. I've got a lot going on in my life and I need prayer. I need prayer right now. Or maybe you're someone you've wandered away. You've got caught up with the busyness of life and you've lost that quiet connection with God. And you know you need a decided and radical change. And you want to be baptized. You leave a comment. Email us at info@hopelives365.com and you let us know. Friend, I want to pray for you. Every Tuesday, I meet with our staff and we pray for every request that comes in that moment. You leave a comment right now. You send us an email. Now is the time, my friends. You might have been a longtime Christian and you're disappointed. Now is the time to trust Him with every moment of the day. Oh, my dear friends, don't let us come out of this quarantine that we're now experiencing around the world unchanged, just to go back to life as normal. May right now be a radical change where we take advantage of this quarantine moment and hear the voice of God in the stillness and quietness and allow Him to speak to us. I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a world dominated by busyness. We live in a world where we can be accessed by emails, text messages, Facebook Messenger messages, direct messages from Twitter and Instagram, Zoom meetings, Microsoft Teams, Skype, and it goes on and on. We live in a world, Lord, where we can watch anything we want to watch, anytime we want to watch it. And all You ask is that we would be still, that we would stand still, and know that You are God. And so right now, Lord, I want to pray for all of those that are a part of this time together, that they, in the quietness of this moment, would make a decision to hear Your voice and to continue to do so day in and day out, that they would be prepared for the day when Jesus will come soon. I pray for each and every person watching or listening that they would truly be transformed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.